Let's take our Bibles this morning, go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, when you find your place, if you'll stand for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, Psalm chapter 19. We're going to read the first six verses. The Bible says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit into the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless our service this morning, God. I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. Lord, you've allowed it. You've established the fact that preaching is your avenue, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Lord, it's your avenue, Lord, to bring men to conviction of their sin. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning. God, we need you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word as it goes forth. And we thank you for it. And thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love Psalm chapter 19. I love the truths here. And we're going to preach a message this morning entitled this, "The Declaration of Nature." The Declaration of Nature. You know, I'm thankful that God has allowed me to be able to live in the country. And some people may call me a country hick, but let me tell you this, I wear that name with a badge of honor, all right? And you know what? Hey, I'm glad that people like living in the city. And that keeps them away from us out in the country here, all right? As far as I'm concerned, they can stay in the city, okay? I love the country. I love the fact that the beauty of creation is all around us. I love this time of year. Fall is one of my favorite times of year. As within the last few weeks, the leaves changed and hit their peak, and my goodness, they were so beautiful. There was, of course, you've noticed this too, but one particular, there was a tree across from my house set facing the west, and the golden leaves, as the sun would set, it would literally set that, look like that tree would be on fire, and it was beautiful. And I guess you know you're getting old when my wife and I are driving around, we're talking about the trees. Look at that tree, look at that tree, and beautiful. I love seeing the beautiful sunrises and sunsets. As the sun sinks below the horizon and leaves behind in its trail the most exquisite colors that even an acclaimed artist can't do justice to. As it comes up in the morning and seems to set ablaze the trees and the fields with its blinding rays. By the way, young people, you can actually see the sunrise. Did you know that? You got to get out of bed to do it. And it does come up. You can see that. It turns from night to day and the sun comes up. You can actually watch it, okay? And I love the bright moon. The last couple nights as it's cast forth its glow across the darkened sky. I love it when it's full and bright and it lightens up the darkened landscape. The vast numbers of stars as they twinkle in the night sky that we can even see trillions of miles away. I had Tristan help me do some research this week, and I thought this was interesting. To the best of man's ability, scientists have determined that the largest star in space, they named it UY Scuti, is 1,708 times the size of our sun. Now, I want to give you some comparison here. The sun is 1,287,000 times bigger than the Earth. That means that UY Scuti is 2,198,196,000 times the size of the Earth. We can't comprehend numbers like that, okay? We can't. But you know what? Something like that that God has put out in the sky. By the way, I think I said this not too long ago when I preached, but those stars, when you go out in the night sky and you look up and they're innumerable, do you realize God put those there with five words? He made the stars also. Five words, they were there. What a wonderful God we serve. And in fact, just the other morning, I was out enjoying some time with the Lord, and before the sun came up, and I saw six falling stars streaking across the sky. What a wonderful world God has made for us to enjoy. Now, I'm no tree hugger, to be sure. I promise you that. In fact, on Earth Day, I go cut down trees, so we'll give the green people something to do next year, okay? I'm not a tree hugger. I mean, people get ridiculous on this stuff. I mean, not too long ago, I saw this video where these people were weeping for the trees. And they literally were sitting out in the forest, sitting in this big circle, crying, "I weep for you, tree." I mean, it was ridiculous. But there's people out there like that. I mean, you've probably seen this t-shirt before. It says, "If you worship Mother Nature, I walk on your mama." All right, I like that shirt. So I'm not a crazy environmentalist, okay? I'm really not. But may I say this? You know what? I've heard nature speak. I've heard it speak. You realize God has given his creation the ability to say some things? Now, we may not be able to hear it the way we hear each other talk with audible words. But if you stop and look and listen, there are some messages that nature will proclaim for all to hear. So I'm going to preach this morning, the declaration of nature. So if nature could talk, here's what you're going to hear it say. Number one, that God is the creator. You're going to hear nature proclaim loud and clear that God is the creator. Those verses we just read, let me read them again to you. And as I read through here, notice the verbs in these passages here. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through the earth. Their words to the end of the world, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Did you notice the verbs there? It says that heavens declare. That word declare, it means to score with a mark as a tally or record. The word we see where it said the firmament showeth, that means to manifest, to announce. Says that day unto day uttereth, that means to gush forth. It literally means, I thought this was a neat definition, to belch out words. Night into night showeth, that means to declare. Folks, listen, the declaration of nature tells the world the truths that man can't seem to figure out. And that's the truth that you know what? God is the creator of all. Nature tells us that. It declares it, that God's the creator. Did you know that nature is smarter than the Pope? I mean, I know that's not saying much, but seriously, folks, literally, the Pope has just came out and has made this statement. Let me read this to you. Here's what he said. When we read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician with a magic wand able to do everything, but that is just not so. He created human beings and let them develop according to the internal laws that he gave to each one so that they would reach their fulfillment. The Big Bang, which today we hold to be the origin of the world, does not contradict the intervention of divine creator, but rather requires it. God is not a divine being or a magician, but the creator who brought everything to life. Evolution in nature is not inconsistent with the notion of creation, because evolution requires the creation of beings that evolved. Now that sounds pretty confusing, doesn't it? But what he's trying to say is that the only thing that God had to do with creation was starting the process of evolution. That's what he was trying to say. Now, you know what? He doesn't take God completely out of the equation, but he just dumbs God down enough to be the one that starts the Big Bang. Well, may I say this, Mr. Self-Proclaimed Leader of Religion, who we ought to be calling a mother instead of a father because he wears a dress all the time. But I hate to tell you, but let me tell you something. What you said about creation is not what the Bible says. The Bible says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Hey, by the way, that's only day 4. We could keep going. But you know what? Genesis 1:31 kind of sums it all up. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what Pope What's-His-Name says. You know what? The Bible says God's the creator of all. By the way, the Bible's not the only thing that tells us that.
You know what? Anybody with any common sense can look around and see that nature itself declares that God is the Creator. Just think about the complexity of the human body. And any sane, logical person can understand that something like that doesn't just happen. I mean, I found some interesting statistics this week. By the way, this is one aspect of God's creation. Just one. You realize there's over 60,000 miles of arteries, capillaries, and veins through which the blood in one adult human body? 60,000 miles. You realize that's the equivalent of 2.5 times around the world? And that's what's in your body, pumping your blood to all the various parts of it? There, did you realize that the human bone is as strong as granite in supporting weight? A block of bone the size of a matchbox can support 9 tons. That is 4 times as much as that concrete can support. The focusing muscle of the eye moves around 100,000 times a day. To give your leg muscle the same workout, you would need to walk 50 miles every single day. And on and on and on we can go. But let me say this, folks. You know what all that speaks of? It speaks that God is the Creator of all. Just the fact that you can take your hand out and you can make your fingers move how you want to move them. I mean, do you understand the complexity behind that? You know, I mean, trying to believe in evolution would be like believing in the fact that a tornado went through a junkyard and when it got done blowing through, there's a brand new Mercedes-Benz sitting there. I mean, that's how stupid evolution is. But yeah, we got a bunch of so-called intellectual people in this world who believe that's where mankind came from. Let me tell you, folks, that's not the message that nature declares. That's not the message that the Bible declares. The nature clearly proclaims to all that God is the Creator of all, that everything on this earth has at its core the fingerprints of the Almighty on it. That's what nature declares. Number two, there's something else that nature declares, that nature tells us. It tells us this, that God and His Word are right. Hey, do you know nature tells us that, folks? That God and His Word are right? If you have your Bibles, go to Psalm 97. I want you to see these verses here. Psalm chapter 97. The Bible says this in verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness around about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlighteth the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. You know what you see here? You see all of nature letting people know that God is who He says He is, and that His word is what it claims to be. That's what you see here. The word righteous there, when it says the heavens declare His righteousness, that word righteousness means that which is naturally, morally, legally considered to be even and right. Hey, you know what nature says? You know what it cries out and says? Hey, you stupid human beings. Hey, your Creator's right. His word to you is right. Nature declares that in all matters, God is just and right. Now, I know that there's naysayers and mockers that try to discredit God and His Word. By the way, that's the very first tactic that Satan used back in the garden some 6,000 years ago. When his first encounter with mankind, you know what it was? It was to try to discredit God and His Word. And by the way, he hasn't stopped since then. All through the history of mankind, the devil tries to come along and try to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of human beings that God and His Word aren't right. But you know what, folks? It doesn't really matter what people say. It doesn't really matter what universities and places of higher learning may teach. It doesn't really matter what man and all his intellectual thinking tries to prove. You know what? God and His Word are right. God and His Word are right. Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. Well, I've heard people say, well, you know, I believe this, I believe that. You know, it doesn't matter what we believe. It only matters what the truth is. And let me tell you what the truth is, that God and His Word are right. You know, folks, by saying that, just by believing that, you know there's security in that. You know there's hope in that. There's purpose for living in that. So much so that nature itself declares it to be true. Again, in Psalm 50, verse 6, it says this, and the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. And the verse we just read in Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare His righteousness. I thought it interesting when God was...
given the law to Israel. And when he was using Moses to deliver them the law, here's what God said. He said this, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it." Hey, you know what God was saying here? Hey, God says this, you know what? When you decide that you're going to choose to obey or disobey my law, you know what I've done? I've allowed my creation to be the witness, to call on the witness stand, to declare testimony against you if you choose to obey me or not to obey me. Now, folks, you know what God's saying is this. You know what? Nature's got it figured out. Nature's got it figured out that God and His Word are true. Don't you think that we as human beings, the crowning creature of God's creation, could take the free will that He's gifted us with and come to the same realization? Don't you think we owe that to God? I mean, hey, do you know how much easier and simpler our lives as human beings would be if we would simply believe what the Bible teaches and live our lives by its principles? I mean, look, folks, I mean, life's hard enough. Why do you want to complicate it by trying to do things our way? By the way, you know what? God gives to us a response that nature responds when man chooses to believe that. Man, I thought this was a neat verse. Isaiah 55, listen to what he says here. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." You know what God says? Look. He says, "My word, as it goes forth, is going to accomplish what I send it for to accomplish." Now, here's the reaction I want you to see, the next verse. "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Listen to this. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." You know why that will happen? In response to man choosing to obey the word of God. If man would simply choose to obey that, the Bible says that literally the hills shall break forth into singing and the trees shall clap their hands. To what? In response to man choosing to obey God and His Word. You know, I expect unbelief and skepticism from the lost. You know why? They've been blinded by the God of this world. But sad to say, too many Christians have too much of a skeptical attitude when it comes to what the Bible says. Too much skepticism. I mean, hey, we believed it for salvation. We believed it for the fact that it brought conviction into our lives so we could be saved. But wait a minute, you mean you're trying to tell me I don't let the Bible dictate to how I'm supposed to live my life? You mean I'm supposed to let the Bible tell me what kind of attitude to have and not to have? What kind of relationships to have and not to have? What kind of just about everything in my life to do? I'm supposed to really let the Bible do that? Yes, you are, as a Christian. That's exactly what God wants for us today. To believe that He and His Word are right and allow it to affect the way we live our lives every single day. Hey folks, nature's got that figured out. Hey, you know why the sun keeps coming up every day? Because God tells it to. I mean, hey, the sun's not rebellious. The moon's not rebellious. They do exactly what their Creator created them to do. Okay? Nature's got it figured out. Hey Christian, settle it in your heart. Live it in your life. Listen to the declaration of nature that God and His Word are right. Let's embrace faith and trust in God and His Word and believe the things that nature would say if God gave it an audible voice. So nature declares to us that God is the Creator. Nature declares to us that God and His Word are right. Nature declares to us another message. It declares to us this, that God is in control. That God is in control. Go to the book of Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. Job was having some problems figuring some stuff out, wasn't he? I mean, hey, before we start casting stones, we ought to understand all the things Brother Job went through. He was trying to make sense of all that had happened to him in his life. And you know the story. Some of his friends came over and started giving some advice, and most of it was not good advice. But here's what Job says in Job chapter 12, verse 7. "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? And whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and the length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding." Notice here. "Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth.
Hey, you know what he's trying to tell us here? You know what nature's trying to tell us here in these verses? Hey, what the beast and the fowls and the birds and the earth itself is trying to tell mankind? Hey, mankind, God is the one that's in control. God is in control. Hey, why does God command me to obey verses like this? Okay? Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. By the way, that's a command. The Bible says, put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The Bible commands me to do that. The Bible commands me to do this. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in him. He is their help and their shield. The Bible commands me to do this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Why does God command me as a Christian to trust him? Why does God say, hey, forget human reasoning. Forget what you can think of with your mind. You trust me. You trust my word. Why does God command me to do that? Why can I do that? Because he's in control. That's why. Because he is in control. You ever seen those t-shirts that say, you know, keep calm and do whatever, all right? You know, keep calm and do this, do that. My personal favorite is the one that says, keep calm and carry a gun, all right? I like that one, all right? But hey, you know what? You know what we as Christians ought to wear sometimes? We ought to wear a t-shirt that says this, keep calm and trust in the Lord. Keep calm and trust in the Lord. Now look, I understand sometimes you get blindsided in things in life. Okay, things hit you upside the head and you weren't expecting it. I mean, you know, you get that phone call, you get that knock on the door. Okay? Now you know what the lost world does? You know what they just react emotionally. I mean, they lose it. They go completely crazy. Now I'm not saying as Christians we shouldn't show emotion, that we shouldn't be upset or we shouldn't have sorrow. But it's different for a Christian. You know why it's different? Because our trust and hope is in the Lord. I mean, hey, the beast and the birds and the fish all know something that a lot of we human beings have problems figuring out. You know what that is? That God is in control. Hey, you know what? The animals don't worry about where their next meal is going to come from. I was sitting in my deer blind last night. Here come the deer through the woods. And you know what? The crops were out of the field. Brother Donnie's got them out already. And they were out. But you know what? They were moseying through the forest, eating the nuts off the forest floor. You know why? Because God put it there for them to eat. Them deer weren't running around frantic trying to figure out what they were going to eat. You know what they were doing? You know why? Because the animals got figured out. You know what? You can trust in God. Matthew chapter 6, let's go there. How can we not read this passage? Matthew chapter 6. Here's what God's trying to get us to realize. Therefore I say unto you, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, here we go. Nature's going to teach us something again. The fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and not ye not much, are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking a thought can add one cubit to his nature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here's the secret. Here's the key right here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what God says? You know what? You give me my rightful place in your life, I'll take care of the rest. That's what he says. That's what he says. Now understand something. God's not teaching us a welfare mentality here. Okay? I mean, you can't just pull one verse out of context and say, well, you know, that gives me the right just to sit at home on my duff and expect God to provide my needs. Ain't the way it works. We know we got to go out there and work. We know we got to go out there and do our part. But listen, you put God first, you seek his kingdom first, and you know what? He's going to make sure you're taken care of. That's what the scripture teaches. Now here's the thing, folks. If you're doing that, if you're genuinely with all your heart trying to serve the Lord and you're trying to do right and you're doing your best to put God first, then you know what? Quit worrying. Quit worrying. Hey, you know what? God's going to take care of you. I mean, hey, you know why I don't worry about the economy, the elections, and all the doomsday scenarios that Hollywood's made millions off of? You know why I don't worry about those things? You know why? Because my trust is in God. My trust is in God. I mean, you know how long we've been hearing that the economy's going to crash? We've been hearing about that for how long? The last 10, 15, 20 years? I mean, it's going to crash. I mean, there are going to be bread lines again. Now, could that happen? Sure, it could happen. But you know what? If it does, guess who's going to take care of me? God. You know why? Because my trust is in Him. And folks, listen, nature tells us that. Nature tells us that. You know, I got to thinking this. You know what? If the economy would crash, you know nature's still going to keep going on? I mean, hey, you know the sun's going to still keep coming up? And you know that wintertime's still going to come, springtime's still going to come, summertime's still going to come. You know why? Because nature doesn't let all the things that happen in life affect them. You know why? Because nature's trying to tell mankind, hey, trust in God. Trust in God. And number four, here's the last message that nature will tell us. Nature tells us this, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Nature tells us that, folks. Listen to this verse. Man, I love this. Luke chapter 19. Listen to what he says. Talking about Jesus here. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Okay, so you know what the disciples are doing here? As Jesus is making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, hey, they're saying, hey, this is the king. This is the Hosanna. Hey, here's the one. Everything he's been doing is true. Everything he says about himself is right. Then look what it says here. Saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. But notice Jesus, what he says. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Did you hear that? God said, you know what? Jesus said, if they would stop declaring me to be who I am, the rocks would start telling people about it. Hey, I mean, you realize if there would ever cease a human voice to tell the world of our wonderful Savior that came and paid the price for man's sin, the rocks are ready to proclaim the message. You know, I wonder sometimes if, the rocks are more willing to give the gospel than we as humans are. What a sad testimony if a rock would be more willing to testify than a Christian. Hey, you know what? The rocks, the field, had it figured out what so many men were blinded to. You've heard the saying before, dumber than a box of rocks? Well, I think that's giving the rocks a bad rap. I think maybe we ought to say instead of dumber than a box of rocks, dumber than someone who isn't willing to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Because you know what? The rocks aren't that dumb. They know. They know who Jesus is. In fact, they know it so much that if God would allow them to, they would speak it out and proclaim it forth. Folks, listen. If the rocks can figure out who Jesus is, then shouldn't we as human beings made in His own image believe Him for who He said He was? Now, I know most of the people here probably know this today, but let me just stop here for a minute and clearly let you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the only way. There is no other way to heaven. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, did you hear what he said? I am the way. You know what that means? He doesn't say I'm a way. The, as in singular, as in no other way. The way, the truth, the life. Jesus Christ was a real person who came to this earth 2,000 years ago, born in a miraculous fashion from a virgin named Mary. He was all man, but he was also all God. He came to this planet for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was from his own lips to seek and to save that which was lost. He lived a perfect and sinless life, going about working miracles, training his disciples, and preaching about the kingdom of God. When he was 33 years old, he was betrayed by one of his very own disciples, turned over to an angry mob, and crucified for crimes which he had never done. He suffered emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually unlike any person has ever suffered. Why did Jesus Christ do this? He did this because he loved you and he loved me. He loved us. You say, how could he love me out of all the billions of people that have ever walked this planet? That's what makes him God, because he has the ability to love everyone the same. He died on that old rugged cross for the sin of mankind so that man could be redeemed and have access to the Father in a wonderful place called heaven. But you know what? That's not all Jesus did. For 3 days after his death, he laid in a borrowed tomb. But unlike all men that had died before him, he did something that no other person had ever done under their own power. He kicked death in the mouth, delivered the crushing blow to the devil, and arose from the dead. He now holds the keys of death and hell, and at this very moment, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all his children. Hey, you know what? This is the message that the rocks would love to cry out if God allowed them to. But just because Jesus did all this for you and for me doesn't mean you have an automatic pass to heaven. When God made man, he gifted us with a free will. And in order for us to go to heaven, we must exercise our free will and accept the gift of salvation that is offered to us by God. I mean, folks, listen, if that were the case, if just everybody was born to go to heaven, then there would have been no reason for Jesus to come and die. But he came and died to give man a choice. And you know what? In order for us to go to heaven, we must exercise the free will God has given us and put it our faith and trust in him. We must realize our sinful condition. The Bible tells us, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you, that means anybody that's ever been born onto this earth was born. We all have the same thing in common. We got our blood is tainted with sin. We all have the sin curse upon us. And you know what? That creates a problem. Because the Bible tells us that because of our sin, we deserve to pay for our own sin. And the only way for us to pay for our own sin is to die and go to hell. I don't know about you, I don't want to pay for my own sin. The Bible says this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages, for the payment of sin is death. And folks, just like Jacksonville, Indiana is a real place, some 4,000 feet below where I'm standing right now is a literal place called hell. Real place. You know what? It's not a pleasant subject to talk about, but it's a necessary subject to talk about. And because of our sinful condition, we deserve to die and go to hell. But aren't you thankful for the verses like John 3:16 in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What's that word perish mean? It means to die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. We must realize that Jesus paid the price for our sin when he died on that cross. The Bible says this in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth, it means God proved it. He showed it. Hey, God's a lot more than a God of all talk. You know what he is? He's a God of proof. He's a God of action. And he proved the fact that he loved mankind by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to die for our sin. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Hey, are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? That's a big yes. We're all sinners. Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And then you know what? Just because he did that, as I said before, doesn't mean you got an automatic pass. Just because he came and died doesn't mean you automatically get to go. Well, what do I got to do to go to heaven? The Bible says this. We must be willing to accept the gift of salvation by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I read the verse a while ago. For the wages of sin is death. Let me read the second part of it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible clearly says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must be willing enough to believe it enough, to be willing enough to ask him for it. I mean, it's a free gift. It's available for all. I mean, hey, Christmas is coming up here not too long. Only 40-some more days, I think, Brother Don, we were talking about this morning. He actually told me this morning, Brother Don, he's like, 45 more days. I'm like, what, to Christmas? He's like, no, until I go to Florida. All right? And I know he's going after Christmas, so that means it's 40-some days to Christmas, okay? Hey, you know what? Here at Christmas time, you know what we're going to do as parents? We're going to give our children gifts. Now, I've never looked at any one of my children and said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you this great Christmas gift, but before you do, you got to pay me $50 to receive it. Because if I did that, guess what it would cease to be? A gift. And you know what? That's the way it is with God. Okay? You know what? You don't have to pay God by living a good life to go to heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? You don't have to pay God by being dunked in that baptismal tank to go to heaven. Praise God for that. You don't have to impress God with anything you've ever done. You don't have to try to coax God into letting you in. You know what you got to do? You must simply believe. And God, you know what? I believe it enough to ask you. I want the gift. Would you please Take me to heaven when I die. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ came. I believe that He died and rose again. I believe it enough to ask You, and I put my faith and trust in You to get me to heaven. It's that simple. Now, folks, listen. You know what? That's the message nature declares. It declares it. It says it. Now, you know what? God still needs us as human beings to come along and explain the gospel to people. Okay? Hey, it wasn't nature's job to give the gospel. It wasn't. It was human beings' jobs. It was Christians' job. But you know what? If human beings would stop and look around, you know what they'd see? They would see that message declared. So what does nature declare to we as human beings on this planet? It declares, number one, that God's the Creator. It declares, number two, that God and His Word are right. It declares, number three, that God is in control. And number four, it declares that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, the declaration of nature. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning. Thank You, Lord, so much for all You've done for us, God. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the principles of Your Word. Now, God, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to learn something from Your creation. Lord, learn something from the things that You made, Lord, and help us as Christians, Lord, to put these things to practice in our life. And God, sometimes it's hard, Lord. We get bogged down by the things that are going on here in this world, Lord. We get bogged down by living life, and sometimes we forget these simple truths. But Lord, nature's there. It tells us. It speaks to us. Lord, so we thank You for that. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of folks here. And God, I don't know who is or who isn't saved. But I pray, God, that if someone's not saved, that they would come and accept Your free gift of salvation this morning. Lord, I don't believe in accidents. Lord, every person is here today for a purpose, for a reason. And Lord, I pray that if someone is not saved, that they would accept You as their Savior today. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.